I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joe the other day called it the straight eight?
Yeah, that's the eight.
That's the eight that we kind of think
that's the eight that I would get. I'd give you the same eight because I think the Thunder are out and the Lakers take the Thunder spot of the teams that made it last.
There you go.
So it's also that eight or right. Seven of those eight.
Exactly. So now the argument we were talking about the other day was usually a team kind of jumps up and surprises, and they got a shot at the playoffs. I'll give you three teams.
Yeah, and let's see. I'm typing them as you're saying them. I think there's three teams that could.
I'm going to give you one from each Western Conference division.
Okay.
Ready? Timberwolves out of the Northwest.
Wow, okay.
Because you got Karl Anthony Towns. I'm not a fan of their head coach. I am a fan of Karl Anthony Towns.
You're putting Minnesota in that group. Okay. Fair enough.
This one, I'm...
Yeah,
okay. I'm kind of reluctantly going to say this. Sacramento Kings. Because I think there's a chance they fall back. Talk about your everything has to work scenario.
Yeah.
Everything would 100%
correct
have to go in their favor.
To get in.
For them to have a chance to be, hey, it's April 1st, they're there.
Agree.
Okay. And then out of the Southwest, I'm a Dallas Mavericks fan.
Okay.
I like Porzingis and Doncic together. I'm a fan. So those are my eight that I think will be the teams, and my three who I think could be the surprise upstart. Suns, not going to be it. Pelicans, sorry, too early. Grizzlies, you started to regroup.
Yeah, I have the eight that you mentioned that we agreed on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually think there's a group of three that I put in the same category.
Okay, let's hear your three.
It's the Pelicans, it's the Kings, and the Mavs. I think those three are all the if everything goes right, maybe group.
To me,
and then I think you have Oklahoma City as a you don't really know, but they're a cut below that group of three, and you have Minnesota that maybe could put themselves in that group. It's a group of three, but it could maybe become a group of five.
You know what?
I think Phoenix and Memphis are the ne'er do wells.
Let me get Jumpin' Joe Sherry to look this up. Hey, Joe, he's producing us today. Hey, Joe, look up the win totals in the Western Conference. Because I'd be intrigued to see where everyone is with the Pelicans' win total.
There was a 39, I want to say.
39.
I saw on them. 39.5. Yeah, I can dig that up.
And it's just, to me, it's a little iffy. All right, how about this? You want to get to Chewy on the phone lines? 888-957-9570.
Let's do it.
All right, Chewy, what do you got for me, buddy?
Hello?
Hey, Chewy, welcome in, 95.7 The Game.
Okay. Yeah, man, thank you for taking my call. I like that what you said, how we need to bring a D-League team. We'll take it here in Oakland. Been an Oakland resident since the 80s. No, we wouldn't feel like it's a bone. We'll feel like, okay, we're going to make a D-League team a championship, just like when the San Jose Sharks. Just like when San Jose took our expansion, they made an expansion team. They took the Golden Seals from us before the Golden Seals left Oakland. I wasn't even born yet. They left Oakland the champion. So we'll make, like you said, we'll make the D-League team the champion. So that's not a bone. Because the Warriors, they're not going to win. Like you said, they're going to make it to the playoffs, but they're not going to be a champion anytime soon. And I hate to say that, but they're not. And what's it called? I mean, just got everything winning in Oakland. And what's it called? I talked about with Ray Rado over the week, two weeks ago. And you know, it's just man, we got to do something with Oracle. And I know that they'll get it. It'll be a good venue here in Oakland because people are going to support it. And that's it. And then just,
I think they would. I think they.
Race.
Yeah. I think they would. I think there would be a nice level of support.
Okay.
For what's going on?
I'm surprised
in Oakland, whether it's a G League team. A WNBA team. How about that combo platter? Let's say, because they're probably going to have so many events.
There is going to be a WNBA team, I think, at some point.
You do?
Yeah.
In Oakland or in San Francisco?
Affiliated with the Warriors in some way.
I wonder if you're the Warriors, you have so many nights where you're already you're going to have concerts and all that business. Would you want, what does the WNBA play, 36-game season, 18 games at home to fill those dates? Or would you, what if you put your G League team and a WNBA team in Oracle? And you kept it alive.
Interesting.
And then you said to the Sharks, hey, instead of having your guys play in your own ice and chip up your ice, you're playing two games on it, twice as many games on your home ice, which is chipping it up and it's not as good for regular NHL action. Play your minor league team in Oakland. And Oakland becomes WNBA, G League, AHL, or whatever league the Barracuda are in. Is that the ECHL? No, that's East Coast Hockey League. What league are they in? The AHL?
Hey, I think it's the AHL.
I've not seen the Barracuda. I apologize.
Dug up those win totals.
All right, let's get to the win totals. What do you got?
And this is going back a couple of weeks, and this is from Caesars, the ones that I had here. You asked about the Pelicans, 39.
39? I'm going under on them.
I remember thinking that number's pretty high. The Mavs, 41.
So that's a huge number.
So of that Mavs, Pelicans, yep. Kings group, the Kings were 37. So it's 41 Mavs, 39 Pelicans, 37 Kings.
You know what? Here's my problem with the Pelicans.
Although I'll say this with the Mavs, I think Doncic is at a point where he may be close to being good enough to where he by himself can get you 41.
No.
Him and some nice players around him.
No. You think so?
Maybe.
That's a tall task.
At some point. He
ain't there now.
No. But, I mean, at some point soon.
I want to look up the Pelicans roster because
they got a bunch of the Laker guys.
Well, that's just it. How good were they? Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Jahlil Okafor. We're going to step aside. Hey, you know, I'm just intrigued. The Pelicans are a team that I still think are the Pelicans. They're not a playoff team. We'll get into that. More stuff from Steph Curry, because that's not the only stuff. Championship stuff, you have a take. I want to hear Steph on KD leaving, all that stuff.
And then we got Cam Inman.
And we got food coming.
We do.
So we got to step aside. Cam Inman at the bottom of the hour.
That's it.
John Dickens and Jim Cozumore. We're out here at the Freedman's Appliance. We're about to what are we tasting? What do we got? Chicken tomato pesto melt.
Beautiful.
And a pastrami Reuben. Here, I got a plate over here.
I got to go one.
I'll do one of each.
We got to do one of each.
Because I'd be insulting the chef if I didn't.
That's 100%.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And that's from the Lynx Grill, by the way, the Lynx. So we'll down this. Come on out to Freedman's Appliance. Grab yourself some grub. Look at some of the best kitchens around. JD and Koza, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game, live from Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Here's John Dickinson and Jim Cosimore.
Nothing worse than eating on the air, John.
Well, you made sure you waited, actually.
That was worse.
For effect, you waited.
Oh, my God. We're downing. I'm eating like the Reuben sandwich right now.
Yeah, we had the Reuben.
Man, you downed it all.
Oh, yeah. You get it in. And people think I don't eat anymore. Let me tell you something. That's a misnomer.
You just pick your spots and you eat the right stuff.
Just pick your spots.
And then you work it off.
And you work it off.
That's good.
A big thing. You get on the elliptical and you go.
I was going to do that this morning. I just couldn't motivate myself. But I'm geared up now.
No, I couldn't. You know why I couldn't this morning? Because it was the first morning in a while. Because I had the windows open. At night,
it's nice and cool.
But this was the first morning where it was like, boy, I kind of woke up in the middle of the night before, and you could feel the breeze.
Yeah.
Like it was finally back.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, boy, this is good, because that has not been there all week.
No.
This
week has been
Like you wake up in the middle, and it's like you're just not getting any help.
No. None at all.
And so I'm like, boy, this feels great. I'm snoozing.
I totally agree with you.
I'm snoozing longer. I'm making up for
I kind of felt the same way. No motivation.
Yeah. So I was going to do the 5 o'clock. I was going to do the 5 o'clock.
Were you really?
Elliptical today.
Wow. Yeah. That's bold.
But, I didn't. I'm just talking about it.
I was going to do the 6 a.m. and do a quick cardio and then get my day going and be here by. And it just, I couldn't get it rolling. We got, like, a slumber party at my house going on.
But you're making up for it by eating more. So that's good.
Yeah, not good at all. I'm trying to lose it. I'm getting chubby again. All right, let's get this thing going. John Dickinson, Jim Cozumore, 95.7 The Game, having a good I'm telling you, this thing's breezing through. I didn't know it was this quick. Bottom of the hour, just 8 minutes from now, we got Cam Inman.
Yeah, from Dove Valley.
Exactly. He is going to, and we're going to find out the real deal about it. What, you know, this little bit of a ruckus. I don't know if it was a fight, but some type of ruckus that went on at the scrimmage today.
And Cam's a little higher on the Niners than I am. I was having a chat with Cam out at one of the practices earlier this week. And I just kind of, you know, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And he says, hey. And he'll probably say some semblance of this to us in a couple of minutes. But he said, hey, the quarterback's healthy, and he looks like he's getting better. This was before the five-interception day. He looks like he's getting better. That's big time. That's what you need. That's the most important thing. All these other little things, it sounds like guys are going to be back by the start of the regular season. At least the team is hopeful. But so he had a little bit more of an optimistic view. I said, "All right, Cammy Cam, I'm
pro
file that
Cam.
Away."
I will say this: the 49er beat writers, the ones I know, and I think I know all of the beat writers.
Great group of guys.
Unbelievably, they are all likable people.
Yeah,
they're all very nice, likable people.
No question.
There's no one that's gruff or rubbing you the wrong way or unapproachable or.
It's extremely friendly between Mayoko and Cam and Barrows. Yeah. And now Chris Biederman,
yes.
The younger guy on the beat. Sacramento
yeah, all yeah. Really nice people. So, for what that's worth.
Yeah. Maybe Eric Branch.
Another nicey. Everybody's nice. So, maybe we should be nicer.
Yeah.
No one says that about you and me. Maybe we should be nicer.
Speak for yourself.
All righty. We were doing some Warrior stuff before. We got Cam coming. We'll get to the 49ers at the bottom of the hour. I want to finish this Warrior stuff.
I'm
spitting all over your... I got schmutz all over your brand new iPad.
I got a chamois for you, though. I bring a chamois.
You're a pro.
Yeah, I bring a...
Man, that's awesome. Yeah. You want to hear the sound, because you were out there at Steph's camp for girls... And then he addressed the media, and he addressed about championships. I don't see them as a championship team, so he's laughing at me in my face.
Well, I thought he was laughing at me.
Right in your fat face.
I think they're good.
Right.
And it was almost like, you know, he was kind of giving me the look like, yeah, I've heard you, JD.
I heard you.
Like kind of smiling.
Smart
like,
A.
I've heard you.
Uh-huh.
Thinking we can't win a championship. But here's my wild take, though, because he got me.
Oh, that's right. You do have a wild take.
He got me to thinking about it, and I brought it up the day that we were going to do the show, but you had the unfortunate incident.
Terrible.
I'm glad you're doing well.
Thank you.
But here's what I was thinking. I'm thinking, gosh, you know, you look at all these teams that you mentioned that should be playoff teams, right? And no particular order. The Nuggets, right? The Nuggets have...
It's a lock.
They have Murray and Jokic.
Right.
Right? They have a two, right? The Blazers have McCollum and Lillard. Or
right.
Lillard and McCollum.
Right.
However you want to do it. The Jazz, Gobert and Mitchell. Mitchell and Conley. They may not even have two, but they have three. Not they have a one, and then maybe two halves.
Where are you on Conley? Where are you on Conley?
Conley's good.
I like him.
He's going to make them a level better.
I think Mitchell and Conley are. I'm in the category of them as their two, and I think Gobert, because he's Defensive Player of the Year, if he doesn't give him a three, they're a two and a half.
Okay, so they have a two and a half in your mind.
Yes.
Okay. All right. The Clippers. Clippers have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. They have a two.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers lost DeMarcus Cousins.
Uh-huh.
ACL, awful.
It's terrible.
Feel awful for him.
Yeah.
The Lakers now have a two because you have to. It's Davis and it's LeBron James.
Yes.
And I was open to, hey, if Cousins comes back and he had lost some weight, he looked like he was on the JD plan.
Oh yeah.
He had really thinned out.
Yep.
But he's got the ACL, awful, don't like to hear it. But so the Lakers only have a two. Rockets have Westbrook and Harden. The Spurs have DeRozan and Aldridge. Do the Warriors still have, when healthy, something that none of those other teams that we think are contenders have, and that's three stars, and maybe even three and a half or four if you count D'Angelo Russell?
Oh, it's funny. I was going to count D'Angelo Russell. And my question was going to be,
or Draymond.
Are you going Steph, Draymond, D'Angelo? Because Clay's not – you can't put
right.
Clay in the equation.
But what I'm saying is, do the Warriors have two now and three once they get everybody back? So could we be looking at a scenario where the Warriors get Clay Thompson back in March, and by April the Warriors are the only team that has three and maybe even three plus –
I think they do have three plus.
In terms of star power.
I am pro D'Angelo Russell.
And if that's the case,
yeah,
why wouldn't they still be in the championship business next year?
Because even if I count D'Angelo Russell, I'll tell you why. First, Clay's not coming back as the Clay we. He's not All-Star Clay when he comes back. He's All-Star Clay in a year. He's not All-Star Clay when he comes back. When he comes back, you have multiplicity at one position. You have too many guards on the floor. You only have so many shots available. And I as much as I love D'Angelo Russell and I like him for this team in the beginning, I think it's you've got too many of the same pieces. He's going to be discounted.
Okay. But if you, let's say you have three then.
I would say between the four you have three.
Okay. So if between the four you have three.
Yeah.
Does that mean you're in a better spot than everybody else that only has two stars? The NBA is all about stars.
If D'Angelo Russell can fit in and Clay can be something that is not otherworldly but effective, you might be able to. I have a hard time getting over the hump
My big question is, can they play well enough without Clay to hang in?
See, that's the thing. As good as...
And to not let one of the Sacramento, New Orleans, Dallases believe that they've actually got a shot. Because you're the Warriors, and you're 45 games in, and you're 20-25. Because you've had injuries, and things haven't worked out. That best-case scenario. So if the Warriors can get to, hey, you know, you're 50 games in, and you're 28-22, something like that, and you're getting Klay Thompson back, then you're rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're getting in.
Let me ask you something. I know they just paid Draymond. In our eyes, he's one of the superstars or one of the people of the equation. But did he play that way last year? When Pascal Siakam schooled the heck out of him?
Yeah, he didn't have a great finals. He had an unbelievable playoff until the finals.
Okay.
And he got himself worked to where he needed. I think Draymond is the kind of guy that knows he's got a little room to play. Like, he had a little room to play with it. He didn't have to come in. He knew he could coast up until the
midpoint
of the
year. And he said so.
He
admitted it.
He knew he could because they were so talented. And they were going to win enough to where they were going to be in a position where he didn't have to be 100% ready to lock in. He got beat in the finals. That's different. But he was fantastic the first three rounds.
All right.
And leading up to.
He needs to be that.
I think he knows he needs to be that the whole year for them to make the playoffs.
Right, exactly. All right, so a little Warrior stuff. If we have time, we're going to get to it a little later.
Yeah.
We'll come back to it. But right now, we got to get ourselves out to the Mile High City, Denver, where the 49ers are having their second day of scrimmages against the Denver Broncos. The two teams will play a preseason game coming up on Monday night. Cam Inman, Bay Area News Group, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Cam, we understand there was a scrum at today's scrimmage between the two teams. Was it a violent scrum? Was there swinging? Were there fisticuffs? What can you tell us about the fight? Because that's what I care about.
Wonderful. Well, you know, it was a typical training camp fight. There was probably a couple pushing and shoving. There were no helmets coming off and swinging them around like a medieval guy or anything like that. And the only two players that got sent off the field were Broncos. So, you know, what had happened is the Niners defense had a pretty good 2 days here. And they were living in the backfield pretty well. And they were getting under the Broncos' skin, were ticking them off, and the Broncos had enough. I saw one cheap shot where one of the Broncos guys pushed a 49ers safety onto the ground. It wasn't anything too crazy. It was just football. You know, about a little bit earlier, I called it like a baseball fight where there was a lot of pushing and yelling, but nobody did anything. So when they were here 3 years ago, the Broncos bullied them. The Broncos were taking cheap shots and really were the antagonists. And this time around, it was much more the 49er defense that did it, and it kind of showed me this defense has a newfound intensity that they've been lacking, and they did so without D. Ford and Nick Bosa on the field, the two guys that are supposed to be bringing the heat around the edge. So the fact that they're still getting enough pressure without those guys, that bodes well for them, maybe not bodes so well for the Broncos offense.
Yeah, and Cam, Where do you think that comes from? The new edge defensively, because it's been on display at training camp. I think from time to time. I think overall the defense has gotten the better of the offense, maybe minus some red zone situations. But where's that edge come from in your mind?
I think it comes from desperation. I think last year was so abysmal in terms of the turnover ratio, and I think that really is such a red flag that this team wasn't aggressive enough. And whether it was the scheme that wasn't aggressive enough and created opportunities, it now has. There's better competition all throughout, although cornerback maybe not as much, but I think there's guys wanting to make plays, and they're getting in better positions to do so.
Cam Inman joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Is it too early to tell whether or not that aggressiveness or the play of the line, and you're saying it's positive without even having Bosa and Ford on the field, is that right? Interior pressure that they're able to show, will that be enough to overcome any deficiencies in that secondary?
Well, they were pretty good on that interior last year with DeForest Buckner, and it couldn't mask everything. So they need the whole unit to play better. They need the linebackers to be more forceful and create turnovers, and they're starting to do that. And, you know, Quan Alexander is a guy that we don't talk about, but he's going to be one of their middle linebackers and brings a lot of intensity to the game. And the fact that he's only about 10 months removed from an ACL and he's running around there pretty well, I think, is very encouraging. You know, Garoppolo called the headlines for his ACL. But Alexander's doing okay. Fred Warner's really taking it up a notch in his second year at linebacker, and that does bode well for him.
Cam, we had a reporter from the Broncos side on earlier, just getting his perspective on how things look. One of the things he pointed out was the 49ers, the current state of their wide receivers. How do the wide receivers fare? And with Trent Taylor out, is it looking more and more like that group isn't where it needs to be going into the season?
Yeah, it's a good question. Can you hear me fine? I'm kind of getting into some weather here in Denver, so let me know if I start breaking up.
No, you sound great.
No, we got you.
Dante Pettis kind of had a bad practice yesterday, but he rebounded pretty well today. I think they want more consistency out of him. Debo Samuel and Jalen Hurd are looking like the real deal. Jordan Matthews, I'm not so sure about. He's a veteran. I don't know if he's not a starter, then he's going to have to be playing special teams, and I don't know if he's cut for that. Richie James is the guy that's probably stepping up these last couple weeks, making hay there, and he's also going to probably be the return specialist if they don't want to use Pettis there. And then Kendrick Bourne is hot and cold. I think they like him a lot and will keep him around. But I don't think they're going to cut Trent Taylor because they love Trent in the slot. They're just going to have to wait for his foot to get better probably by late September.
Cam Inman joining us on 95.7 The Game. Cam is in Denver as the 49ers are having some live scrimmages with the Broncos before they play a preseason game on Monday night. Cam, the storyline of the week was Jimmy Garoppolo throwing five consecutive interceptions at a 49er practice back in Santa Clara. How has he looked in the live scrimmages against a live or somewhat live Broncos defense?
Oh, I think I lost you. Let me call you back in a minute.
All right, Cam. Sounds good.
I stumped him. Maybe I just gave him too tough of a question, he wanted to back off.
Think about Denver, that area, man. That'll hit you. It'll be beautiful, nice, and then all of a sudden,
out of nowhere. Yeah, and it comes hard.
Yeah,
like it's not like, oh, here comes some drizzles.
No, it's like here comes like pounding rain, and lightning, and wind.
I remember when I was first in the NBA, we were doing games in Denver in the old building, McNichols Arena, and it would be like when you'd walk into the building, they'd have the temperature up, and it'd be like 63 degrees when you got there. By tip off, it's like 29 degrees. Like, what just happened?
By the time you walk out, it was single digits.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what just went on? And then the next morning, it's 63 degrees again. Yeah, so they are crazy up there. So Cam's going to try to. There you go.
I'm good.
Hi, how you doing? Cam, can you hear us? How are things going?
You know what? The weather's kind of it's the Rockies, right? So we're getting these afternoon thunderstorms that are about to roll in, and nobody's ever perfected cell phone technology yet, right? Anyhow, I heard you asking about Garoppolo, and the story of the last week was the 5 INTs. And he had one yesterday. He had none today, but he threw up a lob that into triple coverage that probably could have been picked. And we asked Shanahan, just, you know, does he want to see Jimmy throw the ball out of bounds or be a little safer? He says, look, I want a guy to make a play, but you can't make plays for both teams, so you got to be a little bit smarter. I think it's fine. I mean, Jimmy's got to get, like, know his boundaries, and this is the time to figure it out because he certainly should not be playing a lot in these next two exhibitions, which they said they're going to give him light roles. I think it's going to take a little while for him to kind of get readjusted to this offense after being back for or being lost for all of last season.
Cam, do the 49ers have something in Tarvarius Moore at free safety?
Yeah.
He's been getting he's had a nice camp, but you see that translating?
I don't know if anybody's had a better camp than him. He has basically seized that starting free safety job, and you know Jimmy Ward is the projected starter, but he's yet to play in any team drills, which could be fine if he was far and away who what they thought is a free safety, but when you give a young player an opportunity to step up and make plays, and Moore has. He's been making interceptions left and right. He just seems so much more comfortable and natural as a center fielder, playmaking free safety, which is what this team is desperate for. I don't know why you'd change it. And he's a young guy. He is super fast. We asked him today if he's ever challenged Marquise Goodwin to a race, and he said he hasn't, that he covered him once when he had to play cornerback. I asked if he would race him for $1 million, and he said, yeah, put it up and go with it. But Goodwin, you know, won the $1 million race, whatever, this summer. But, yeah, he's doing phenomenal. I think the coaches are coming around, too. They, you know, about 2 weeks ago, Robert Saleh said he was nowhere near a free starting caliber free safety, and Saleh changed his tune in the last week. So big jumps for that guy.
What happens to Jimmy Ward if Moore is the starting free safety? Does he go back to a hybrid role again? I mean, it seems like he's going back and forth between positions, you know, a couple times a season. What do they do with him if he's not the starter?
JD, as you well know, the more you can do, it's better for your job status, right? And I think Jimmy Ward, they don't want to bounce him around a nickel and corner again, but they love him at free safety. They just know that he's an accident waiting to happen because he likes to hit so hard. If it comes down to between Jimmy Ward and Adrian Colbert, I think you stick with Ward because you don't know how great Tarvarius Moore really can be when the game really turns up a lot of notches when the regular season comes. So I think you keep Ward no matter what.
Cam Inman joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Cam is in Denver as the 49ers and the Broncos are having some live scrimmages before they play coming up on Monday night. For Monday night, how much is Kyle Shanahan going to use his regulars? Has he said what he's going to do? Some teams opted in game number two not to play any of them. I watched last night's Bears-Giants game. Bears didn't play any of their regulars. What are the 49ers going to do on Monday?
I asked Kyle Shanahan that today, and he said he has not decided other than that Jimmy Garoppolo will play a little bit. He kind of left the door open that it's not going to be barely anything at all because he wanted to evaluate and see how much Garoppolo did these 2 days against the Broncos. He wanted to evaluate the health of the offensive line, which is not great. Mike Person sprained his foot yesterday, guard. So you do have a little weakness there. I think what they're probably going to do is just give the starting unit like a four-snap cameo. If they get a first down, great. Just one series and out, at least for Garoppolo. And then they'll let him play maybe a couple series into the second quarter next Saturday in Kansas City. That's the plan for him. The rest of the team, I'm not so sure. I think the proven veterans will not be playing much. There's no reason to. This team has been so hit with injuries over the years. They do not want to tempt fate in these meaningless games other than to give the guys kind of just a dress rehearsal of getting ready for a regular season game, go through the warm-ups, and then maybe sit them down.
Before we let you go, Vic Fangio, now a head coach in the NFL, the former 49er defensive coordinator. How's he looking in his role as a head coach? Does he seem excited, happy? Does he have everything running like clockwork? Has he addressed his chance to get this head coaching job?
You know what's funny is a lot of the Denver reporters, they come and ask us or they ask the 49ers brass about Fangio finally getting a shot and why did it take him so long to become a head coach? And the Niners should have hired him years ago rather than Jim Tomsula, and they didn't. He just has a different style. He's old school. He will tell you the unvarnished truth. He's not there to pump guys up more than they should be. You know, John Lynch told a good story today about how when John was in production meetings of the TV, he asked about the defense and about Navarro Bowman and Pat Willis, how great they were, and Vic was reluctant, saying, look, we throw the word great around too much. You know, these guys are good players. They're playing good. And that's how Vic is. He's understated, but players love him. He has so much credibility from all his years as a defensive coordinator that players really respect him. He's not a young, unproven head coach. He's a guy that's going to run a good ship. The problem is he has an offensive system that's very similar to Kyle Shanahan that Rich Scangarello, the 49ers, the old QB coach, he's putting in. And that system usually takes at least 2 years to take root. So they might struggle offensively before things really get going there. And they got Joe Flacco in at quarterback, and then they got a rookie QB behind him. So I don't think it's going to be easy for Vic, but he knows how to put a good defense on the field and let those guys make plays. And he's got Von Miller, too. I don't think Von Miller is going to play Monday night, which could bode well for Jimmy Garoppolo's health.
That's true. Very true. Well, I hope your health is good as you're moving around in the weather that they've got out there in the Mile High City. Stay dry, and we'll be reading your stuff at the Bay Area News Group. Thanks very much. We'll do it again. Okay, Cam?
All right, Jim, JD. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
See you, buddy. There you have it. One of the many nice people who cover the 49ers.
Yeah, good stuff.
Very good stuff. And I want to see Jimmy throw the ball once. That's it.
See, to me, if you're gonna have him out there, I want to
have him out there.
I'd have him out there. I'd roll him out. I'd drop him back. I'd have him throw a slant. I'd have him throw a deep ball. I'd have him hand it off a couple times.
I'm handing it off twice.
I'd have him sprint left. I'd have him sprint right.
I'm handing it off twice, and I'm throwing a quick slant or a wide receiver screen.
And then you're going to quick kick.
And then I'm going and then I'm going to walk off the field just to make sure he's feeling good about himself.
And then you're going to have him line up in the gun on 3rd and 3 and punt.
Exactly. Exactly what I'm going to do.
And run right in the locker room.
And, yep, bubble wrap him.
And see you on September 8th.
Yep, and then I'm going to slow drive him to Tampa. I don't even want him on a flight. In case he gets airsick or something like that.
In the back of an 18-wheeler.
Yep. I'm just going to relax him. Slow drive him down to Tampa. Getting ready for week one, buddy. So does it sound, sound like Cam was, we had a guest earlier today who covers the Broncos, and he said, boy, Garoppolo's throwing darts day one. And Cam said, he was fine.
And that's consistent with what I've seen in the days that I've been out there. Garoppolo hasn't at any point blown me away. Like, wow, this guy's awesome, and the ball's zipping around, and it's just clicking on all cylinders. I think there's good plays mixed in with plays where they appear out of sync, mixed in with, boy, why'd he do that?
Yeah. Cam gave us why'd he do that play that he had today.
And so I just, it's so funny, because everything we thought we were going to learn about the 49ers and about Jimmy Garoppolo, we thought we were going to learn it last year.
Yeah.
We're going to learn all of it this year. But it's fascinating to me because I wonder if he's going to be big mistake guy. Like, he's going to play great, it's going to look well, everything's clicking, and then boom, there's that one mistake that can wreck a game, wreck a drive, you may have to win a game a second time that you were in control of. Just making the smarter play more consistently, because he has a little bit of, and this got him in trouble with the injury, he has a little bit of that, I'm going to sling it and take risks and make plays because I'm the quarterback. I'm going to make the tough play and get the extra yard, even if it means I risk an ACL going out of bounds. I worry about that.
But isn't that the exact same attitude that won him five games at the end of 2017, that he was making the bigger play, the tougher throw, he was taking the gamble, taking the chance. That's what we liked about him? Or did they keep him confined to what he was doing? Remember, because that whole year, I'm not convinced we were going to see him play at all.
I just think the whole year was, I think the whole end of that year was, it was looked at with a different lens just based on the fact that there were no expectations. Like, there was nothing going, you know, it was just, yeah, okay, he's playing, and okay, they look more functional than they had, and they're in the game, and look, they have a chance to win it with a drive here or a drive there, and he would lead them down, and there really wasn't a lot of spectacular other than maybe the Jacksonville game.
Mm-hmm. I maintain that on...
It was good. It was much better quarterback play than we were used to seeing.
Right.
And I think, to your point, you brought up the Broncos guy. Well, it's much better quarterback play than they've been used to seeing by comparison.
Exactly. Now, here's the... Again, I've said this before. I thought 2017 was fool's gold, and it gave everyone too much of a hope for 2018. And now, are we getting that same layer of hope in 2019? Or in some weird way, because last season played out the way it did the 49ers address deficiencies in areas that maybe Garoppolo hid by his 2017 performance? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're winning. They're thinking, hey, we got the right quarterback. We have the right infrastructure around him. Then they realized he was out in game three, and they saw what they really had.
Need more.
And because he was out, they addressed defense massively.
The brightest spot of the whole thing for the 49ers in this training camp continues to be, you know what, maybe they have a better defense than people think.
Yep.
Look, I go back to the last time they went from bad to good. The last time the 49ers went from a bad team to a good team was 2011. And Jim Harbaugh comes in, and Harbaugh was what? An offensive guy, right?
Yeah.
He's an offensive guy, quarterback whisperer guy.
Yep.
What's he going to do with Alex Smith?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to groom Kaepernick, who they picked, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was all about offense, offense, offense. Well, the trademark of the 49ers became the defense.
Absolutely.
The trademark was Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman and Justin Smith.
Yeah.
And Alden Smith
mm-hmm.
coming in as a rookie. I mean, the 49ers were a defense-first team.
A lot of that was Vic Fangio.
Maybe they are again.
Maybe.
And I'm not on that level. Don't get me wrong. But if you got a damn good defense.
But to hear what we just heard from Cam Inman, who was down there watching the scrimmages, to say the defense was kind of living in the backfield.
That's good.
They were getting pressure, and they don't have the two guys who they're counting on as their pressure guys.
It's a good sign. And look, the defense has outplayed the offense in this camp. The days that I've been out there, the defense has outplayed the offense. The exceptions have been in the red zone periods,
mm-hmm.
and this is problematic because the 49ers defense the last few years has been awful in the red zone, and the 49ers offense has been awful in the red
zone. Equally as poor.
So you're wondering, is the 49ers offense fixing their red zone problems, or are they facing a defense that struggled in the red zone the last few years and they're still going to struggle in the red zone? You don't really know. It goes back to the Kyle Shanahan joke.
Right.
He says, hey, if the defense does well, I'm coaching the defense that day. If the offense is playing well, I'm coaching the offense that day.
Yeah.
He can just kind of take credit for both.
I like
for
it.
Either.
He's a smart man.
But the defense has outplayed the offense at camp other than the red zone sessions. So this is consistent with that.
All right. Well, again, you don't know when Bosa's coming back. You don't know what you're going to get. That's on the defensive side. That's the biggest piece, right? You don't know what the Bosa piece is going to be.
Yeah.
It's a terrible shame he's hurt. Again, high ankle sprain. You don't know about the grade. You don't know how rugged. You don't know any of that stuff. But that's going to be a big miss if you don't have him for a couple of weeks. You might be lucky in that it's Tampa and Cincinnati. But let's find out how that is. And then offensively, can you count on Jerick McKinnon at all?
At this point, no. He has been on the field.
So when everyone says, well, they're kind of deep at running back, how deep are they?
And in fairness, he came back for a couple of days, and then they shut him down again.
Right.
Because
I hate to hear that. I'm not rooting against the guy by any means. Don't get me wrong.
Of course not.
Yeah, I want him healthy.
Look, I'll say, you know, Tevin Coleman has looked good. He's looked like he's going to be the leading rushing. He's going to get the most attempts. And
I like
he's going to be the most productive. The only knock on him has been he's fumbled the ball at times. But part of that has been the defense has really been trying to rip the ball out more. Like, they've been forcing the issue, I think, in that vein.
Which is another
thing that you could – hey, one thing that's a down point for the offense could be something on the upswing for the defense, that they're making more plays, playing with that desperation.
And maybe that's part of it. They know they were so bad at creating turnovers. Listen, you look at the metrics. You create turnovers, you have a better chance to win football games, right? Teams that are positive teams that have more than 8 wins tend to do pretty well in the turnover battle. They get it more than they give it. And that's an area that they have failed miserably. I know we're coming close to the end here, JD.
Nice day out here.
Beautiful day. Friedman's Appliance. You guys got to come on out here. They're still grilling up.
Oh, yeah, they're just getting started.
Yeah. So they're here all day long. We've been here since 9 this morning. Parking lot filled.
Jammed.
Because people want to come here and see what's going on at Friedman's Appliance because maybe they got, you know what? Maybe you want to improve your outdoor kitchen. Maybe you need a new grill. You've had yours for a while. Time to upgrade, everybody. They've got your chances. You got the Lynx people out here. They're doing some cooking. You got the Hempton, I believe, is the one that we ate.
Yeah.
It's got the Warrior Blue.
The Warrior Blue.
We've got... Get on inside to Friedman's Appliance, where they've got all your top kitchen appliances, and they've got working kitchens, so you know how to use everything. Friedman's Appliance, Pleasant Hill, right off 680. If you're going north, look to your right. You can't miss it. We've done it all.
Always fun, Kozer.
You're tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow with Herbs. Big Herbs.
Big Herbs, you and Big Herbs?
8 to noon tomorrow, and then we're back Saturday.
Wow, that's a lot going on. For John Dickens, oh, I'm on Monday with Joe Lowe and Dibs.
Oh, yeah.
All right, all that coming up. Rick Tittle next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.